Good morning. We'd like to welcome everybody to Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. We're going to start off this morning's service with a baptism, so if you will, just bow your heads and we'll pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you to this day and thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come into your house, Lord, and listen to your message. Now, Lord, as a church, we pray that the ones going through the baptism waters today, that we will get behind them in a way that we can help them in any way that we can. Lord, we just pray that you would be with this service today and just the message that you've laid on Brother Jerry's heart would be presented in a way that if there is some lost soul here today that needs to know you, Lord, that they would step out and heed that message and come forward and ask you into their life. Now just be with us, lead, guide, and direct us, Lord, and forgive us when we fail thee. For it's all these things that we ask and pray in your sweet and precious holy name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Brody Jenkins. Brody Jenkins gave his life to the Lord and came forward in Vacation Bible School. And we talked and decided it was real. And so this is the results of Vacation Bible School. We teach our children what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and some of them catch on to it. And we had actually had three decisions for this time. Brody came forward, and he's going to join our church by baptism, but also tell the Lord how much he loves the Lord. So Brody, come on down. He's a little bit nervous, but that's okay. Brody, my brother, none of you are my brother in Christ. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That deserves another one, and God, all God's people said.
And with that, if you would please stand, we'll continue on with number 426, Victory in Jesus. 426. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
And we'll continue on with number 635, the Star Spangled Banner. 635.
Please stand. We will do the Pledge of Allegiance and the Pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now please join me in the Christian flag pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and love. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Hillcrest. What a wonderful day it is to be in the house of God. I want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day today, and we'll welcome our visitors and guests as well as our home folk in a few minutes. I do have a couple announcements in recognition of the 4th of July. We will not have any services this evening. Enjoy being with family, doing the things that families do. And I think Wednesdays, we will have normal service on Wednesday, prayer meeting and youth, and all the other activities, mission friends and RAs and GAs, like normal on Wednesday. And I think we also have an announcement from behind me.
Ladies, this Wednesday is Women on Missions. We're going to be doing things a little bit different this Wednesday. We're going to be writing encouraging notes that we'll put in the bags, the welcome bags that are going to go to the college in Kentucky. Whether you normally attend Women on Missions, we really need your help. We need to write 100 encouraging notes. So I don't know about you, but I think that's a lot, and we make it cramps in our hands. So whether you attend normally or not, please come. And to help us in this effort, and it's going to be at 5:30, so we'll see you then.
Thank you, Miss Claudia. We do want to welcome our visitors and guests this morning. The way we're going to do that is we're all going to stand up together, and we're going to sing, and we're going to wave from afar.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this earth. For I'm part of the family.
Have you ever been on Tiny Town Road? There's a church over there that the sign said, "Our preacher wears jeans." Well,
your preacher doesn't wear socks.
You know, I wear waders when I baptize, and boy, did they ever fill up. I mean, from hair down, it looked like a balloon filling up, so Carol just took out those waders and put them in the dumpster. So if you see my feet, just realize it's all for the Lord. We have been reminded we ought to say the pledge to the Bible. So if we can get it up there, we will do that. Let me read to you some scripture while Alex is pulling up the pledge. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting in verse 15, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place." This is God speaking, by the way. "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk with me as your father David walked and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail, but have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified by my name, I will cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among all people." As you read that, as you listen to that, realize God is setting something before our eyes.
to hear the Word of God and to obey it, especially as a church. And if we don't, he'll put our light out. So let's make sure that we hear what God has to say. Alex, have you got that pledge? Let's stand and say the pledge to the Holy Bible. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and will hide its word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. All right, good job. Now you may be seated again, up and down, up and down. We have several things we need to pray about. Mac Beck passed away Friday, 91 years old. He went in the hospital for some tests and something happened. We're not sure what, but he passed away very peacefully. But anyways, he was here last Sunday, by the way, and just in really good spirits. So this was kind of, took everybody by surprise, but Mac knew the Lord, which is a blessing, and he's in a much better place than you and I are, that's for sure. Henry Kanacki went to the hospital this week. He's at home now, but his blood platelets got really low. They haven't figured out what caused that yet, but they did get them back up. But he's going to have a colonoscopy Tuesday to see if there's something going on. Hopefully it's just medicine that's causing that, but you know, they'll find out. We have several that are not here that are just suffering. So keep everybody in mind as you pray. Keep our country in your prayers and your church in your prayers. And let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father Almighty, you're an awesome God, and we sure love you. Lord, we come today to worship you. We worship you as we celebrate the 4th of July, knowing that you inspired men of God to start this country. Men of God wanted to pray without being put in jail. Men of God wanted to walk with the Lord and do what you said instead of others telling them how to worship. And Father, even though they struggled with many things, we were started as a Christian nation. And we still are a Christian nation. But it seems, Father, that we need to ask forgiveness. I think, Father, that we've turned our backs on you some. And Father, I pray that you convict us. Show us where we've gone wrong. Help us to humble ourselves before you and ask your forgiveness. I do pray, Lord, for our country, our leaders. Father, there are a lot of things taking place that are not biblical, and we pray, Lord, that you'll use us to pray to get these things changed. Father, I pray for Mac Beck and his family. I lift him up to you for encouragement. Lord, that Jerry would feel the church right now praying for her and lifting her up. I pray for Henry, Father, as they try to figure out what's going on with him. And Father, we have just so many people that need our prayers, and we lift them up to you, asking, Lord, that you would heal. We believe that you can heal them. Father, as we worship today, I pray that everything we do and say would bring honor and glory to your name. Father, we love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 630, America the Beautiful, 630. Show.
shining sea.
Last hymn, number 634, My Country 'Tis of Thee, 634.
Happy birthday, America. Wasn't that great? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for that musical rendition of our country. Father, I just thank you for Samuel and his ability to play like that. Lord, I just ask a blessing on him. Father, we thank you for our Family Life Center that's under construction. Lord, I pray for safety as that comes up, but I also pray that your name would go forth and share Jesus with whoever comes and works and whatever. Father, we just thank you so much for that. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name.
I muted myself. I'm just glad it wasn't wet. I think that Samuel added some keys to that piano. How many does it normally have? 88 keys? I think he had about 188 keys. That was just fantastic. We were going to have a men's trio this morning, and Samuel asked him Wednesday if he'd be plan B just in case. So as you guys started coming in, I didn't see enough to have a men's trio to sing. You know, it takes us at Hillcrest, it takes about 8 or 9 of us to make a trio. So thank you, Samuel, for filling in for us. If you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to look at one verse really hard. God has put this verse on my heart about 6 weeks ago, and it's the keystone of what our country needs to hear. It's the answer to our problems. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. I know that you've probably heard sermons on this many, many times, but you'll just hear it again. This is not one I've preached before. It's a new sermon. But the ideas are going to be the same. Listen to what God writes to us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And then look at chapter 6 and look at verses 36 through 40, just to get a backdrop. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36, and we'll read through verse 40. When they sin against you, for there's no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to a land far or near, yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, and have committed wickedness. And when they return to you, talk about God, with all their heart, with all their soul, and their land, and their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward their land which you gave to their fathers, and the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for you, your name, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayers made in this place. Today's title of this message is one word, and that's if. And this is one huge word, little word, if. In this little word is a solution to all the problems in these United States of America, if. So we're going to look at a little skit And then I'm going to read you a story by Billy Graham. So go ahead and run the skit.
Independence has never been.
The idea of a people who stood on equal footing, free to speak, free to wander, free to live. These were ideals worth risking everything for. Today, we find ourselves fighting old battles, not with past foes, but with ourselves. We are a nation divided, divided by skin, divided by opinion, divided by hate. It seems the very freedoms we once fought for have become stumbling blocks. Are we too busy seeking ourselves to even recognize the tragedy which surrounds us? Do we no longer see the profound need for the hand of God? In this moment, the truth of Scripture rings especially true. If we, the people, will humbly pray, turn from wickedness and seek His face, then He will hear us, He will forgive us, and He will heal this land. Today, may we remember this one simple truth. True independence is found only in our dependence on God.
Its nose in the face of the one who created it. People have rejected him completely and are confidently strutting their way to hell while thinking the whole time that they are too good to go to there. Daily we are reminded of the overwhelming wickedness of this world. Hardly a day passes that we don't read some of the horrendous crime or hear some of the ludicrous court decisions or watch some of the dangerous events happen before our eyes on live television. And I wrote right behind that sentence, this is happening every day in the United States of America. We know this to be true. We cry out for God to do something to stop the wanton violence and the vile wickedness in the world. But we read here that the prescription for the problem in our land is for those who know God personally, but are living according to the desires of their hearts. We, as His people, must deal with our hearts before He heals our land. We must bow before Him, acknowledging our complete failures and turn from our iniquity. We must seek His face and call out to Him in faith. Then we will see sin forgiven and our land healed, starting first with us. Today, as we celebrate the 4th of July, we pray for our country to return to its roots. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 and just kind of take it apart as we pray for this country. Remember where it starts. It starts with us. So read 2 Chronicles 7, 14 again with me. And just listen to the words and how important each word is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice a couple things about the way it starts. It starts with that word, if. But who does it address? God addresses His people. and the Bible says, who are called by my name. This is talking to you and I today. He's addressing us. And realize that we're a chosen people. We're chosen by God. He has set us aside, apart, for His purpose. Shake your head yes, because that's what happened with us. And that's all Christians. That's us today. That's who God is talking to. His purpose is for us to influence other people. We're to show them the love of Christ. Just as Jesus walked on this earth, He taught the people around Him the value of all lives. Those that are saved, those who were not saved. Jesus loved them all. That's what Christians are taught to do. We're to love all people and realize, help them realize that they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He told His people, He tells us today, you are the salt of the earth. Today, we can buy salt for less than $1 a pound. In fact, we bought some at Walmart Saturday for 38 cents for a pound, whatever you call that round thing. But back in the days of Jesus, salt was usually important. It was so important that the Roman soldiers got paid their salary with salt. The workers, as they were paid in wages, realized how important this salt was, and the name for it was salarium. And we get the word salary from salarium. Usually important, very valuable. As God's people, we're very valuable. We are to be used as salt. We are to influence people. So here's my question. Can you and I make a difference in our country that seems to have gotten further and further away from God? I want you to dwell on that for a while. Can you make a difference in this country right now to all those people we complain about that have gone further and further away from God? Even Christians have gotten further and further away from God. Can we make a difference? And we can if. It's going to show us how important that little word is. If we humble ourselves before God and we pray, and we seek God's face. One of the men I read a lot wrote this. A great crisis in American history came at the Constitutional Convention called in Philadelphia to ratify a constitution for this new country that was being born. The delegates got angry with one another, and because they couldn't resolve their conflicts, they couldn't agree on the thing and anything, and picked up their hats and coats and started to leave. Does that sound kind of familiar? Is that not what our Congress does today? They can't get along, they argue, they bicker, they get up and leave. In fact, in Texas, the whole Democratic Party left a couple years ago, and the Republican Party has too. So they're not getting along. Ben Franklin stands up. Wait a minute, gentlemen. This country was conceived by faith in God. Many of us here believe in prayer. Let us get upon our knees and pray to Almighty God and see whether God shall give us answers to our dilemma. On their knees, those men went, and out of that prayer meeting came the immortal Constitution of the United States of America. What dilemma is happening right now in our nation? What's happening in our lives? Where we need to humble ourselves and go before God and seek His face. When we as God's people humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and His will, we will see what God can do with His salt in this country. You guys, preacher included, is the salt of the world. If you eat food, and we're Baptist, so we eat a lot of food, you know that salt makes things better. Have you ever been to the hospital where somebody's had that hospital food and they're not allowed to eat salt? Did you complain, Chip? Yeah. You know, salt makes everything better. Salt preserves and cures things. Salt also makes you thirsty. So when we seek God's face and we humble ourselves before God and ask Him to forgive us, we're becoming thirsty for God, but our thirst is carrying over to those people that are watching us. Us being salt and acting like salt, acting like God's chosen people, will cause them to be thirsty whether they know it or not. If you ever ate country ham, and when you're eating it, everything's fine. About 2 hours later, your tongue starts getting thick and you start getting thirsty and you just want water. You didn't know that country ham was going to make you so. Well, you probably did now if you've ate it, but it makes you thirsty. We as salt make people thirsty because they want what we have if we humble ourselves before God and seek His face. We also reap what we sow. So if you go out into the world and realize God has called you to be salt, you reap what you sow, and you go out into the world and you reap anger, what are you going to sow? I mean, you sow anger, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap anger. If you go out and sow complaining, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap complaining. If you go out and sow hatred, what are you going to get? You're going to reap hatred. If you go out and sow prejudice, what are you going to get? You're going to reap prejudice. Do you see the way it goes? God has called us to be salt. He's called us to humble ourselves before Almighty God, before the throne of God. As I read that one verse to you the first time, I almost couldn't get through. My heart was getting just breaking because it's such an important verse, and we're just letting it go by the wayside. God has called us to be salt. Are you really thirsty for God? If you are, you'll make a difference. A good difference. If you're thirsty for God, you'll make a difference in this country. If you're not, then you're not going to make a difference. I want you to pause for just a second, and I want you to think about you being salt, and that you also reap what you sow. And I'm asking you, are you thirsty for God? Are you making a difference in people's lives? I'm not talking about, well, I could be talking about just your spouse, but I'm talking about other people as well. God has given you a great area to witness as salt. Are we making a difference? This shows how important that little word if is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face. Are we doing that? Run over to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verse 13. Jesus has a way of telling us things and He doesn't pull back. He just tells us like it is. Matthew 5 and 13. You are the salt of the earth. Sounds pretty good so far. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then what? Good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. God has called us to be salt. So if you lose your saltiness, what does the Bible say? What does it say? You're nothing. We're worthless to God's purpose. That kind of person will not make a difference to this world, to this country. Again, I want you to pause and think how important that little word if is. If my people are called by my name, we're God's people. God has called us out of our sinful ways and saved us and given us the title of salt, among other things. And He tells us just point blank, if you lose your saltiness, this is Jesus speaking, Salt is worthless without flavor. If we're salt and we're not making a difference, what's that say about us? We're not worthless to Him as He loves us, but we're useless and worthless for the purpose that He's called us to be. Maybe that's why this country has gotten so far away from God, because God's people have lost their saltiness. I read another story. I have read probably 75 stories about the 4th of July, and I picked out more than I normally do, but they just spoke to my heart. I read this story, and it reminded me of the importance of a salty Christian. The great 18th century American preacher Jonathan Edwards wrote this about the Puritans who settled in America. The practice of religion is not only their business at certain seasons, but their business of their lives. The Puritans were ready to order their personal life, their worship, their church, their business affairs, political views, even recreation according to the Bible's commandments. What a contrast between the conduct of those earlier Christians and the permissiveness of our days. Now that was said back during the 18th century. Things have changed a whole lot worse since then. Millions today want instant gratification. The whole world seems bent on pleasure, and there's an alarming preoccupation with self. When nations or individuals live only for pleasure, they begin to die morally and spiritually, oblivious to God's will and scornfulness of His judgment. The Puritans knew the life of faith is a struggle. They knew, too, that sin is a stubborn reality, and that believers are not immune to affliction, poverty, and suffering. Still, they persevered in their faith. Let these, our spiritual forefathers, may it be said of us that our faith is the business of our lives. If my people who are called by my name will make their faith part of their lives, we will make a change in this country. I was watching Charles Stanley this past week, and he called a time of prayer during the sermon to pray for our country. That really touched my heart. I asked God, should I do that? God didn't answer me, but I know that He would be glorified if we do. So we're going to take a moment and bow our heads and pray together for our country. So if you would, just a few moments, bow your heads and pray. Our Father, we lift up this country to You. We lift up the Christian nation to You, that Your people who are called by Your name will humble themselves before You. And God, that will seek Your face. I pray, Lord, that as we humble ourselves, that we would be in one accord to pray for this country and the leaders of this country and all the decisions that are being made that are unbiblical. And God, that because of our obedience to You, You would change the direction of this nation. Draw us, Lord, to You. Draw us, Lord, into Your presence once again. Lord, show us the importance of this little word, if. Show us the importance of our faith. Show us the importance of our life being salt to this world. God, help us to make a difference. Your people are bowing their heads to You right now. Hear our prayers, Lord. As You hear our prayers, I pray that You heal our nation. God, we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Faith and obedience is the business of a salty Christian. Let's keep going and see what change God will allow if we humbly pray before Him. Look at the last part of verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. As we seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, the Bible says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. God will. Not maybe. The Bible says God will
heal our land if we humble ourselves before Him and we turn from our wicked ways. He'll hear the land, and we could say He would heal our country. He would heal the United States of America if we turn from our wicked ways. You may be sitting there thinking, well, Jerry, I'm not wicked. But let me tell you, God sees all sin as wicked. God sees the times that we kind of pull away from Him, and that's wicked to Him. He sees the times when we're kind of backslidden, and He sees that as wickedness. He sees the times that we just are straddling the fence one way or another. It just doesn't matter. We're just trying to get through. Well, that's not pleasing to God. What's He say about the lukewarm Christian? I wish you were hot or cold. I could do something with you, but if you're lukewarm, I'm just going to vomit you out of my mouth. You've lost your flavor. Let me give you an example of how Christians say they're Christians, and they could be very well Christians, but they don't hear what God has to say, and they don't live a life obedient to the Lord. This past, a week ago Friday, I think it was, Ron was mowing out here, and the guys doing the construction out here know that the office is closed on Fridays, so they had their radio blaring. I mean, Ron said it filled up the whole neighborhood. It was so loud. And they were playing some song, he said, that had the most filthy words and lyrics he'd ever heard. Now, Ron's been in the Army, so he's heard some filthy. And he was heartbroken because they were working on a building for Hillcrest Baptist Church, who belongs for God. So after he dealt with them, they turned the radio down. But those are the same guys that we fixed hamburgers and hot dogs for Tuesday. And we sat down at their table just talking to them, and several of them shared their Christian testimony with us. One of them told us how he got saved and got baptized in a horse trough in Baxter, Tennessee, and how he goes to church every Sunday, and their church is so big on missions. Another said his testimony. Another said, told us about his testimony. All of them seemed like they claimed to be Christians, yet what'd they do? They played that music that did not glorify God in the least bit. So they would consider themselves, especially the board told us he does mission work all the time, I don't do anything wicked. What would God call something that brings Him no honor at all? In fact, does just the opposite. Especially people that don't know Christ and they see Christians playing that kind of music or hear Christians playing that kind of music. How about us? The times that we lose our temper at home and there's no reason for it. What's God call that? Wickedness. When my people who have turned from their wickedness, I will hear their prayers made in this place. I want to kind of wind this down with a couple of verses and a couple more stories. If you would, run over to Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to my people, to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. Now we know this is God's word. So as He looks at the United States of America, does He see righteousness? Does He see people acting righteous? Does He see His own people who are called by His name as righteous? Righteousness exalts a nation. Then run back to Psalm 33. Verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people He has chosen as His own inheritance.
God wants to bless this nation because He's our God. But who's going to change this nation? It's God's people who are called by His name. Beloved, that's us. We're His people called by His name. We can make a difference in this country. We can change this country's direction. How? By praying and allowing God to do it. And He will. He promises. If we'll humble ourselves before Him, turn from our wicked ways, then He'll heal this nation. How many of us have complained about the way the country's been going for the last 10 or 15 years? And every single one of us has raised our hands about that. Yet we've heard sermon after sermon about 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. The healing process of this country begins with God's people. I want you to dwell on that. Take it home with you. Pray it through. Abraham Lincoln once said, "The strength of a nation lies in the people, in the homes of the people." Somebody wrote, "The home today is disintegrating. There is concern, deep concern, for what our children are being taught or not being taught, whether at home or at school or in the media. They're no longer being taught what is right and wrong. They are floundering. They don't know which way to turn. I don't believe that young people today can live clean, pure lives without the help of God. The peer pressure is too great, and the temptations they see in the movies and on television and what they hear in their music is too much. Only Christ can protect them. Only Christ can give them the power to say no." We pray for those children. We pray for those teaching our children. We can make a difference. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers made from this place and heal their land. Judges 21 and 25, back when Judges was written, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And that's what's happening today in the United States of America. Most everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes. Is our country any different than the country when the Judges was ruling this God's people? They did everything they wanted to do. They didn't want a king. They didn't want a God. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do. What about us? Are we doing what God has told us to do? Are we doing what God has asked us to do? If, I cannot tell you how important that little word is. If, that gives us a choice. We either choose to do what God has called us to do or we choose not to. There's no in between here. The takeaway, six things, application, and then we'll close. Six things we need to pray for. Number one, we pray for ourselves. If you're a complainer, pray that you won't complain. If you like to argue, pray that you shouldn't be arguing. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. So pray for yourself that we will change. We who are called by God's, we're His people. We're called by His name. And we turn from that wickedness. We're salt. So we pray for ourselves. Number two, we need to humble ourselves before God. I was watching a documentary on, I forgot what his first name is, Vick. He was the quarterback for Atlanta. Michael Vick. He got caught. He was, at the time, and probably would have been forever, the greatest athlete that in the quarterback position. He could do anything. He could change the game. I mean, he was just... it. So he's signed a contract for like $120 million, And we go home to Virginia, breaking the law, raising dogs to have dog fights. He ended up going to jail for about 2 years. Before he went to jail, he hid all that. It caught up with him, went to jail. And they said the only way that he'd be able to ever play football again was to humble himself before the people. So as I'm watching this documentary, he caught on with the Philadelphia Eagles, became their quarterback, did very good for 2 or 3 years. Then he retired, or went through the process of retiring. But I never saw, I mean, he got up and spoke a whole lot about doing wrong and this and that, but I never saw him humble himself before God. Do we even know what humbling means? We humble ourselves. We empty this old self out in front of God. And we fill up with the Lord Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves before God. So first of all, you pray for yourself. Then we need to humble ourselves before God. And I can tell you this, God knows whether we're humbled before Him or not. Amen. We won't fool Him. Number three, we need to confess our wickedness to God, our sinfulness. You know, you guys owe me 45 minutes right now, don't you? I need to share this. I mean, I read this, and good gracious, it tore my heart out. You know, I've told you about my mom and dad, and Dad never was at home. He worked 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. When he was home, he slept. So he never taught me the Bible. He never taught me much of anything. He just wasn't around. And Mother was the one that did the discipline, and boy, did she ever break things on me. Whatever was near, she broke it on me, and then I'd laugh at her, and she'd get mad about that. Can you imagine that? So we fought all the time, and I tell you this, and I'm probably never going to tell you again because of what I heard read this past week. I heard about a story about somebody that had a maid, and she was a live-in maid. And the man was complaining about his daddy never being around. And that maid got this man, by the way, he's a commentary writer today, got that man aside and said, the Bible says you are to honor your mother and father. They brought you into this world. And the Bible didn't say that you honor your mother and father only if they please you, and only if they feed you, and only if they put clothes on your back. It doesn't say anything about that. It says honor your father. In fact, that was Michael Vick. 20 years later, his daddy was a dope addict. He went to where his daddy was in St. Louis and apologized to his daddy for not honoring him. We need to confess our sins. Our wickedness. I confess my wickedness. You're not hearing me talk about my daddy anymore. I can promise you that. If I do, you can correct me. That's not honoring Dad. I love my dad. I will honor him from now on. Ask God to show you the wickedness and the sinfulness in your heart. There is stuff there. We pray for ourselves. We humble ourselves. We confess our sins to ourselves. Then we need to pray for our country. The only way we're going to straighten this country out is straighten us up first. Fifth, we trust God and have confidence that He'll heal our nation as we straighten up and ask God to hear our prayer. His promise is that once we turn from our wicked ways, He will hear our prayers and heal the land. And then number six, commit to God today to be salty salt. To do what God's called us to do. That's it. Got nothing more. I'm going to walk down here and be standing there. If you want to come up and pray with me about something, I'd love to pray with you. You can come up to the altar. You need to pray for your country, that's for sure, but you need to pray for Christians that are called by God's name. We need to humble ourselves before God. This is the time to get serious with God. I don't know how many people sitting in here, but this is, well, whoever it is, if all of us prayed with a humbled heart, I promise you God will hear us. Let's pray together. Father, if there's anybody that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day that they'd give their life to you. I pray for us as we celebrate the 4th of July. This country is a great country, Lord, a great nation. But it may not be much longer. That's up to you. God, I pray that you would affect your people. Help us to get right with you and change our nation. We desperately need you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, please don't go home without coming forward and say, Brother Jerry, I need to talk to you. And I'll share with you how to invite the Lord in your heart. If you've never been scripturally baptized, come on forward and let's take care of that. If you need to join our church, whatever the decision you need to make, I sure would love to pray with you. And so we'll stand and give this time to God, and if he deals with you, come on forward.
I surrender all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender.
Some of you have asked about Mac Beck's funeral, and it's not been set yet. He's going to be buried at the VA cemetery, and the VA cemetery is off for the weekend and the 4th of July celebration, so they're going to be backed up. So they're assuming they're going to bury him either Thursday or Friday. They're not sure. So, Father Almighty, thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we live in the United States of America, greatest nation in this world. Help us to stay great, Father. Help us to get over some of these blips that's happening now. We trust you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.